Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, NFL fans, sports fans, and Sports City Chef fans alike. I am your host, Brian Hughes, and today we have a very, very special episode for you planned here on the NFL Front Office Show. Now, as many of you know, throughout the last few weeks, we have been updating, critiquing, and basically preparing you, the listener, to have a good understanding of what each positional group has to offer. And because of that, we are now going to be rolling out our Sports City Chefs one-round mock draft, myself and my co-host. Before I go any further, before I give into any more details, let me go ahead and bring him in now. It's been an exciting run. I'm going to go ahead and bring him in. Let me introduce my co-host to you guys, Roderick Jones from across the pond in the UK. Mr. Jones, how you doing today?
How you doing today, huh? Hello. How are you doing today?
Very good. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. So we're going to talk some football today.
Okay, so unfortunately that was not Rodri. It was a prank caller, but that's okay. We caught him in the act. But, folks, we're going to be rolling out our one-round mock draft, and what we will be doing is we will be giving pick-by-pick analysis of each of the top picks, the top 32 picks. We'll be giving you insight as to why each individual team may look at one individual pick. We're also going to be taking a look at the position groups in which each individual team may be looking at. So we're definitely going to be looking at that as well. And we'll also be taking a look at some of the news and notes from around the NFL. So we're looking forward to getting into all that and much more. We are going to be getting started here in just a few minutes. I appreciate the patience. I'm waiting for the rest of my crew here to filter in. And we will get started. While we're waiting, I will bring up an interesting story that I did want to throw out there. I think that many of you in the kitchen will find interesting. So, you know, there is a huge debate on how accurate analytics are in sports. Many people seem that this is popularized by the movie Moneyball, Billy Beane, Oakland Athletics, showing that if you look for certain categories or certain characteristics of a player, you can actually put together a team that will compete, that will be able to win. And because you're looking for different characteristics, a lot of times you can find guys maybe much later in the draft or much maybe even undrafted that other teams would not have considered because they're obviously looking for something completely different. So I only bring this up because today the NFL announced they released some analytics, and I found it very interesting that the analytics, when they showed the busts for this year's quarterbacks, and they do this every year, but they showed the bust for the quarterbacks for this year. They showed Marcus Mariota, they showed Jameis Winston, Brett Hundley, and Garrett Grayson, the top four quarterbacks. And Jameis Winston actually had the highest bust rate of the four quarterbacks. So it is something that we'll definitely have to talk about, something that we'll definitely have to look into here a little bit more. But I do want to bring in my co-host before we get any further. My man, Roderick Jones. Mr. Jones, how you doing today? I apologize. I think we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. Give me one moment, folks. Roderick, you there? Okay. So, while we're connecting and we're getting Rodri online here, so as I mentioned, the reason why I found this interesting is because when you look at the analytics of these quarterbacks, I'm not saying that they've proven to be 100% accurate, but they have shown to be somewhat accurate. Jameis Winston was rated right above Russell Wilson, or excuse me, right above Jamarcus Russell, and right below David Carr, two guys that most people would consider busts, taken number one overall, did not perform quite up to that expectation level. So I don't think it would be necessarily a bad thing, at least, to look at these analytics. Now, the top three quarterbacks ever graded on analytics was Peyton Manning, Carson Palmer, and Matthew Stafford, three guys that have been in the league a while, have been a starting quarterback in this league for a while, and have had some level of success in the league. The highest rated quarterback in this year's draft, analytically, is Marcus Mariota by a pretty wide margin. So, it begs the question, if you're an analytics guy, you're probably a Marcus Mariota guy. If you're I'm going to watch the tape, you know, the guy who plays the biggest on the biggest stage, under the biggest lights, against the best competition, then you're probably a Jameis Winston guy. There truly is no right or wrong answer. But what I will tell you is this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be picking, excuse me, in just over a week. And if they're not able to figure out exactly who it is that they're picking, if they're not able to figure out correctly, identify which one of these guys is going to be the guy that's going to be able to be the signal caller for them for the next 10 years, then they could be in trouble. They could be in trouble. So, you know, it'll definitely be interesting to see how these teams will navigate the NFL draft. You know, as we move forward, as we continue to, you know, see and watch these teams, it's definitely something worth noting. It's definitely something worth watching for. But we are going to go ahead and move on to the draft. We do have a caller in queue, so I will see if he has a question or a comment or if he has anything to add to the conversation before we get moving on. Caller from the 347, you're on with the chef.
Had a little hook up there. So Pittsburgh lost 2-1 over the Derangers. The Wild 3-0. Well, empty netter. My Blackhawks 4-2 at Nashville. The Preps. It was LA Kingsville had cocaine, SD in Vegas, and a dumbass. It was pretty funny. The Blues. I was reading an article.
All right, and I do apologize once again for that. Caller calls in every once in a while just to mess with us. But we are going to go ahead and get our mock draft started. We have about 50 minutes remaining in the show, and it's definitely something that that I feel like we need to get started because I don't want to run out of time. So. Without any further ado, I'm going to see if I can get Rodri on here so that we can get him picking. So picking number one, as you guys know, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, most people have already basically established the fact that Tampa Bay is more than likely going to pick a quarterback. But is there another possibility? That's the real question, because most people consider the best quarterback, most people would consider the best player in the draft as a defensive tackle from USC, Leonard Williams. Could Tampa Bay use that player? That's the question. I apologize about the technical difficulty. I do believe we have my co-host on the show now after some pranksters. Rodri Jones, how you doing today, sir?
Hey, buddy, how's it going? Can you hear me?
Yeah, doing great. You know, we had a practical jokester come on, and he was providing a fake British accent or UK accent, and he was not doing very well. But I think we all know who that was, but I'm not going to give him the benefit of throwing his name out there. But without any further ado, I do want to get into one quick topic before we get into this draft. And I want to make sure I leave at least 40 minutes because I know last time we ran out of time. But I think that this is important to address, Rodri. So the NFL every year, as I'm sure you know, they put out the analytics of the upcoming quarterback class. And as you know, analytics is a lot of what Billy Beane in baseball with the Oakland Athletics does, where he looks for certain key attributes or categories and bases a player evaluation almost solely off these analytics. Well, the analytics came out, and the top four quarterbacks, Garrett Grayson, Brett Hundley, Marcus Mariota, and Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston actually had what the analytics are showing as the highest potential for bust, believe it or not. And it has shown to be pretty accurate in the past. Jameis Winston scored just above Russell Wilson and just below David Carr, two guys that were busts. The three highest quarterbacks that they've ever measured analytically are Carson Palmer, Matthew Stafford, and Peyton Manning, all three guys that have had pretty good success at the NFL level and had long careers. So what do you think about, you know, what is your stance on analytics? Do they have their place in the NFL? And by the way, Marcus Mariota actually had the highest analytics score by a pretty wide margin and was right up there with a lot of the quote-unquote Pro Bowl caliber quarterbacks.
You know, you made a good point last week that, you know, each sort of, he had his ways of doing things, bringing somebody in and having two, you know, sort of players that for cheap value, but then doing as good as somebody on double A money and then winning at the end of the day. What comes out of winning, I think, you know, I think they said the same about a few quarterbacks that's gone early before. And, you know, just because they haven't sort of worked out, we all know the early teams are the bad teams. They're the teams that get the best college players coming out. There's a lot of pressure put on them quarterbacks, but there's never nothing much around them, you know. So it's hard to sort of become a winner day one, especially if you're a rookie coming in and be, you know, to be a winner day one is tough, you know. So to me, you know, it's tough down on the field. I don't read much into any of that, right? To be honest, myself personally, I just think players do they talking on the field. We've seen like Tom Brady come from nowhere, you know, the analytics. What was the analytics on him coming out and different things, you know? So, really, no, it's all the talk is done in the field. And when all is said and done, we, you know, that's how questions are answered, you know? So, to me, that's the bottom line, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, without any further ado, Rodri, I want to go ahead and dive into the NFL mock draft here for Sports City Chefs. And as you know, we get into this a little bit more than the average person that says, hey, I'll take this player and put him here. We discuss the different options. We basically put our GM cap on for that individual team, and we pick the best player available for that team with who's remaining on the board. We're not going to, you know, if my favorite team is, you know, the Rams, I'm not going to bypass a player, you know, for the Jaguars or Chicago or Atlanta in order for the Giants to get that player. We're going to pick the best player available at that moment for that team that will help improve them the most. So without any further ado, Rodri, you are on the clock. You are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers GM. Which direction are you going? What's your options?
Well, but, you know, I've got the whole draft ahead of me. We've got, you know, Malcolm Glazier. They haven't really had a quarterback here since, I'd say, Brad Johnson. And I think you look in that division, you've got Matt Ryan, you've got Cam Newton, you've got Drew Brees. Tampa Bay Buccaneers need a franchise quarterback. It's their prime. I mean, they've relied on that defense for so many years. Picking number one, there's a kid coming out of Florida State called Jameis Winston. I don't see anybody looking further than him. We measured him up to Matt Ryan. We'll play in the same division. He won the Heisman. Clearly, most advanced pocket passer in the draft. You know, scouts have had their reservations about him, as has the analytical people. And you know, He's got a high football IQ. He's charismatic. He's a natural leader in my eyes. I'm not going to be skeptical about him. I'm going to believe in him. I'm going to go Jameis Winston number one. But is pretty much the way I think it's going to go. He's a hell of an athlete, and I think he's going to be a good pro. So Tampa Bay Buccaneers pick Jameis Winston number one overall.
All right, good pick. I like the pick. At number two, I'm Tennessee. I'm on the clock. This is a tough position to be in, Rodri, as you know, because, I look at my team and we're in somewhat of transition. You know, we brought in Dick LeBeau. We brought in a couple outside linebackers, pass rushers, if you will, and Brian Arakpo, and we brought in Denora Sensi to help in the secondary. So I feel like we've addressed some of our needs. So it'd be very easy to go Marcus Mariota here if I believed, you know, that our quarterback situation was not resolved or if I'd seen enough. But I got to be honest. I watched Zach Mettenberger last year, and you know what? Maybe it was just a glimmer of something, but I think the kid might have something there. And, you know, with that said, anytime there's a potential that you have your quarterback of the future, if you will, on your roster. I know you don't want to pass, but you know what? I also don't want to pass on the best player in the draft. We were ranked 30th in the league last year against the run, the 27th overall defense. Some of that's going to be rectified with a pass rush, but switching to the 3-4 defense that Dick LeBeau is going to run, as you know, he has a lot of movement up front, guys that walk around, five techniques, defensive tackles. You need a guy that can play multiple positions, can play inside, you know, on nickel situations when you're rushing the pass, or outside when you're in your base defense. And I think Leonard Williams is that guy. You're talking about a defensive tackle that's quick twitch, very strong, understands the game, and I think for most people, he's the number one player on your board. I think it's going to be hard to pass on that. And you know, I think that Tennessee and my team has shown our commitment to improving the defense. So with that said, we select Leonard Williams, defensive tackle from USC. You are now on the clock with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's a fantastic break. Very, very. I got the best player also. Okay, so, you know, Jackson, looking at Shad Khan's excellent business mind. Looking to come over here in the UK, play a couple of games at Wembley. I think he's got the head coach in Gus Bradley, coming from a Seahawks franchise, coming from a winning team in Seattle. I think they go defense, Bright. I think, you know, you've got to build from in front. I think they got a quarterback. In fact, I'm quite sure they got their quarterback there, their franchise quarterback. I'm just looking at Boston a week. They need the quarterback now. You know, to get some quarterback. My next addition is Dante Fowler Jr. Dante Fowler Jr. is one heck of a kid. He's just an outstanding person, really. You know, when you look at his combine. No hard-nosed player, outstanding instincts. To me, he's just amazing. He could be amazing Sam linebacker on early downs. No getting up to the quarterback. So I'm going Dante Fowler Jr., bud. Third pick for Jacksonville.
All right, excellent pick. Dante Fowler Jr. comes off the board. I am now on the clock with the Oakland Raiders. I had quite a bit of cap, so, you know, I've done some things, as you know. You know, I just recently brought in, you know, Michael Crabtree. You know, I recently, you know, I've done some other stuff. I brought in Christian Ponder. You know, I've brought in Curtis Lofton, Chimdi Chekwa. So I've done some things. Malcolm Smith, the former Super Bowl MVP from 2 years ago. So I've done some stuff to help improve my team, but. There is a couple glaring holes here, and I think it's pretty easy to realize what those are. Number one, offensive tackle. You look at the offensive tackle situation for the Oakland Raiders. They picked up Donald Penn last year from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when he was released. He's adequate. He's not great. He's also 32 years old. So something to start considering, something to start thinking about. I'm looking at offensive tackle. Is there an offensive tackle worth taking in the top four? Maybe a Lael Collins, maybe a Eric Flowers, maybe an Andres Pete. It's a possibility, but as you know, the one area that drafts always seem to get really thin at is offensive and defensive line, and I also need help on the defensive side of the ball. Even with the incredible Khalil Mack, who was a rookie last year, who's going to be better, the Raiders rank second to last in the league in sacks. Justin Tuck is getting up there in age. Khalil Mack's great, but I need another edge rusher. And I think that, you know, in a 4-3 scheme, I think there's one guy that stands out above the rest. So I'm going with Randy Gregory, the talented defensive end from Nebraska. He's got an array of pass rush moves. He's very talented. He's very quick, a little undersized. But you know what? I can think of some other guys like Trent Cole, Dwight Freeney, guys that were undersized that may have had a long career at getting after the passer, and that's what we're hoping Gregory does for us. Number five, Washington's on the clock.
Now you got Jake Groon coming from our Cincinnati offense a few years ago. RG3, Kirk Cousins was going to be the quarterback there. I really want to see RG3 flourish. Hoping he will flourish, actually, Bri. You know, you lose a Brian Arakpo. He's gone to play on the line. You've got a Ryan Kerrigan. Can Ryan Kerrigan get it done for a long time, all season, on his own? I don't know. Vic Beasley. He's the most explosive pass rusher in this draft. Outstanding at the combine. You know, overall athleticism, outstanding. His rare first-step quickness. I really like him as a player. Vic Beasley out to Clemson, outside linebacker, comes in and fills in for Brian Arakpo. And hopefully he goes to be able to do that. So for me, Vic was five.
All right, very good. They're breaking up a little bit there at the end, but I do believe I heard you say number five for Washington. You took Vic Beasley, the talented edge rusher. I am now on the clock at number six with the New York Jets. Todd Bowles just took over this team. They have signed a stopgap solution at the quarterback position in Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I don't think that QB is necessarily quite as high of a need as many people will believe. A lot of this will depend on, because they did, remember, they didn't sign him, they traded for him. He was under contract, so they actually gave up draft compensation to land Fitzpatrick. Now, would that prevent them from grabbing a Mariota here? No, but, they could look at Garrett Grayson in round two, Bryce Petty in round two, or Brett Hundley if he's still there later on. But when you look at this team, quarterback is definitely a concern for me. I have to keep that in mind. Also, pass rusher. We have not had a legitimate pass rusher. A double-digit pass rusher from the outside linebacker position since Calvin Pace the first year he came from the Cardinals. You're going back 7-8 years that this team, with all the talent they have on that defensive line, they just don't have guys that get after. After the quarterback. So this is a tough spot for me. It really is, because obviously Fitzpatrick is not the quarterback of the future, and there's a couple pass rushers sitting here staring me in the face. Am I worried about right now, or am I worried about long term? Todd Bowles, general manager, both brand new. This is year one. So I think that they have a little bit more leeway, as you know, Rodri, because they know that they're going to be there at least for another year or two. So with that said, I'm going to go with Marcus Mariota, the quarterback. We weren't expecting him to be here, but we can't pass on him. He's too talented. He could be our quarterback of the future. He can run the zone read. He can run the spread option. You look at the wide receivers we now have in Decker and Brandon Marshall. and Curly. We have some weapons. So, you know, other positions we would have considered here, as I mentioned, outside linebacker. It's a little too early for a running back, offensive guard, but we did sign James Carpenter. So we're going Marcus Mariota, quarterback from Oregon, here at number 6. And you are on the clock now with Chicago at number 8.
Different head coach in history. We got Vic Fangio from your San Francisco 49ers coming in as a defensive coordinator. Adam Gase is offensive coordinator. I'm thinking, you know, we lose Brandon Marshall. We got Alshon Jeffrey. We got some talent there. They brought in some talented defensive lineman in Ray McDonald from your San Francisco 49ers. For me, they go, you know, Amari Cooper is high on my board. I like Amari Cooper as a wide receiver. I believe he can come in and contribute straight away. For me, Amari Cooper goes to the Bears at number 7, Bri. And I think that's a steal for them at 7. So for me, Amari Cooper goes to the Bears at 7.
That's a great pick. And probably, you know, some people say maybe he lasted a little too long here at number 8. But, the more and more tape I watch, you know, at one point I had Kevin White rated ahead of him. I just think Cooper's way too polished at this point. So great pick by you. At number 9, I'm the Atlanta Falcons. Excuse me, number 8, I'm the Atlanta Falcons. And a couple positions that I'm looking at here. Obviously, I've had a need at defensive end, it seems like forever. I brought in, you know, OCU Manyora, who's been adequate, but potentially really been the only pass rusher we've had, and he's aging. Safety, you know, I really need a guy to put next to Thomas DeCloud back there because, you know, Lowry's now gone. He, this could be a potential landing spot for Landon Collins, especially when you look at this division. You know, when we look at the teams in this division, we're talking about teams that do like to pass the ball, you know, in the Saints and Carolina. Also, I'm also looking at wide receiver. You know, Roddy White is getting up there in age. We did not re-sign Harry Douglas, so this could potentially be a sleeper landing spot for a wide receiver here, another receiver, if you will, inside the top 10. But this may be somewhat of a surprising pick, and come draft day we could be wrong, but you know what? I think it's important to try and mix some stuff up. I look at Atlanta, and the one thing that kills Atlanta almost every year, Rodri, or kill my team because I'm the GM right now, is the offensive line. The offensive line, both the offensive tackle and offensive guard, they did cut Justin Blaylock. They've had a lot of problems with injury and health with a guy like Sam Baker, and you got to be able to keep Matt Ryan up and healthy. So in somewhat of maybe a quote-unquote shocking or surprising move, I'm going with an offensive tackle / offensive guard, a guy that reminds me a little bit of Zach Martin from last year, a guy that going into this process, most people said he was the best offensive lineman in the draft. I think he could immediately come in and play offensive guard. I think he's talented enough to possibly play offensive tackle, and that's Brandon Scherff, the offensive tackle / offensive guard from Iowa. He can do a lot of different things for you, but we all know, day one, he's going to step in and be a starter on that offensive line and help protect your franchise signal caller and Matt Ryan. So with that said, the Atlanta Falcons select Brandon Scherff, the offensive tackle from Iowa. You are now on the clock with the Giants at number 9.
That's a nice pick. The Giants have been perfect for me. But, Tom Coughlin's been a while now. They won Super Bowls, picked Eli Manning. And half of me saying he needs weapons, but, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. was just outstanding last year. I don't know if that's the way to go. They will need some receivers later on. And with Kevin White on the board, it's hard not to look in that direction. But I feel like that offensive line needs more help than they think, you know. And I think they got the tackle there, but I'm not quite sure if he's the man. So I'm looking at a guy like T.J. Clemens, bro. T.J. Clemens out of Pittsburgh. He's a tough kid. For me, I think they go with him based on the fact that he's just, you know, he can go. I think he's listed as a tackle. I think he can play inside. I think he's a tough kid, and I just can go there and do a job. Pretty much do it straight away. He's not polished. You know, he's easy to get excited about his potential. You know, he emerged as one of the top tacklers in the country in college, and he has, he got the traits to be an effective left tackle. So, you know, if he can refine his technique on the edge, I believe he can start at left. But for me right now, he's an interior lineman. But I'm going TJ Clem quite early for him. But it's, you know, we always see these shocks, Brian. We do see them. And I think, you know, a team like the Giants can reach on a kid like this. So like you said, I'm going to try and change it up a bit. And I'm going to say TJ Clemens based on the fact that I think they need to bring their offensive line a bit closer to home. And I think he can be a good there in the future. And I think it's a kid similar to Tom Coughlin will like. So I go with TJ Clemens, Pittsburgh, Brian.
All right, good stuff. I like the pick. Logic makes sense. Number 10 for me, I'm St. Louis. And as you know, a lot of times in the draft, you know, the few picks before you a lot of times will dictate what you pick. You know, we're starting to see a run on offensive tackles. We've had the last three picks be offensive tackles. The Rams could look at a skill position player here, a wide receiver. You know, a lot of people say, you know, Kevin White makes a ton of sense here. They don't have a true number one receiver. A Devontae Parker makes sense. But we know that the Rams, in order to compete, they got to have a right tackle. Jake Long, medical retirement due to injuries. You know, you look at Greg Robinson, he's going to be playing left tackle. They need a right tackle. And this is a tough physical team. You got Trey Mason as your running back. With Foles back there as a quarterback, and no disrespect to Foles, as you know, I was one of the supporters of Foles, but he's not a very mobile or athletic guy. So you got to provide him protection. And he has shown in the past that he will get injured if you allow him to get hit. I'm going to go with a kid that's been rapidly rising up draft boards that I know you wouldn't be, but maybe a lot of people might be shocked to see this kid drafted this high. But I'm going to go with a guy who's real strong, I think a definite right tackle possibility here, and that's Ereck Flowers, offensive tackle from Miami. Very strong, very fast, very athletic, great run blocker. I think he fits what Jeff Fisher's trying to do there in St. Louis. Other guys I would have considered here, as I mentioned, a wide receiver, possibly Trey Waynes as the defensive back. But the run on offensive tackles has started, and I have an immediate day one need at offensive tackle, and it's just a need that I cannot wait until day two for. So with that stated, you are the Minnesota Vikings, and you are now on the clock, sir.
I'm just looking at Kevin White still on the board, and, you know, as you said, you make a fantastic point, Brian, and I think that's a fantastic pick. I got two guys here I really want to pick. Mike Zimmer, the Cincinnati Bengals, old Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator. You know, I love this guy. He's just got that mentality to take a team. You know, Teddy Bridgewater showed last year, you know, that he can play for a coach like Zimmer. You know, when Zimmer lost his wife to cancer in Cincinnati, the team rallied around him, and he didn't really want to leave that locker room. Right, he brought in some like Vontaze Burfict. See what he did with a kid like Burfict. He can do that with somebody this year, you know. But I'm looking at Teddy Bridgewater. To me, the focus on that franchise has got to be to help Teddy Bridgewater become a better quarterback, because I believe Teddy Bridgewater could be a fantastic pro quarterback. And for me, I can't let Kevin White slip here. He's just too good of a player, I think, and could be too valuable for Teddy Bridgewater. So for that reason, and I want to go defense in a big way. I want to go defensive back, but because of those reasons I just mentioned, I think I'm going to go Kevin White and take him off the board here, Brian. I don't see him slipping below year. So for me, I think he'll be top of the board and a fantastic addition to that offense. And for Teddy Bridgewater. So Kevin White for me, going to the Minnesota Vikings.
All right, excellent pick. And I also agree with you on the pick as far as, you know, value. I'm the Cleveland Browns GM, and I'll be honest, I've been holding my breath here. And the reason, you know, we have two picks in the first round, but the pick that we were concerned about is landing one of these top three wideouts. I've heard a lot of people say, as crazy as this may sound, I've heard some people that really know their stuff saying, hey, don't be surprised if Devontae Parker is the first wide receiver taken. He adjusts very well to the ball in the air. He's an excellent route runner. He's very good in traffic. You know, he's a guy that will go over the middle. He's got proven production year after year, which is something that, you know, people are a little concerned with Kevin White about. I look at Cleveland, you know, do I need a nose tackle? Absolutely, and there's a perfect one on the board. Do I need a 3-4 outside linebacker? Absolutely. Would I like a quarterback? Absolutely. But when you have a top 10 player staring you in the face, and we know that there's a significant drop-off after this player, you got to go and get this guy. I know I have another pick, but I know after teams like Miami, San Francisco, San Diego, Kansas City pick, when I come back around on the board, that this guy is not going to be on the board. So with that said, Cleveland Browns select Devontae Parker, wide receiver from Louisville, and we're very happy to do so. You are now on the clock with the New Orleans Saints.
Nice pick. I've actually got the Browns at 19, so I'll be taking their next pick, so I'll make a note of that. Okay, well, the Saints should pick to Sean Payton, and to, you know, look at the loss of Jimmy Graham. I think fans will want to see something done about that. But, you know, I'm looking at the bigger picture here, Bri, and looking at that defense. We know what their defensive coordinator is like. We know, you know, that they have pots of money to send players off injured. And then get, no, I'm just kidding. They won't be doing that this year, hopefully. But yeah, they go defense. They need to toughen up a bit. And you know, you got. I'm looking at Trey Waynes. I'm looking at Landon Collins, Shane Ray. The guys I got on my page is some excellent talent here. But again, after the quarterback is vital for them. For me, they go Shane Ray. They take Shane Ray. I think that's the most logical pick for them. Shane Ray's raised up some boards. He's you know, coming out of Missouri. He got a high motor, very disruptive off the edge, and he's a bit of a hot commodity at the moment. So for me, Shane Ray going to the Saints at 13 makes sense, right? I think they can move him about a bit and get him after that quarterback. So, yeah, Shane Ray for me, go to New Orleans at 13.
Excellent pick. And, Rodri, just to kind of further accentuate, if you will, your point, not to take too much time, but I just recently had a conversation with an NFL scout through social media, and we were talking about Shane Ray, and basically what he told me was, if not for his injury, he'd be a top 5 pick.
Yeah.
So, excellent pick. A lot of people have really high on this kid. I'm the Miami Dolphins. I'm now on the clock. Wide receiver, you know, a little disappointed that, you know, I missed out. I know I have Jarvis Landry, but I did lose Brian Hartline. I did lose Mike Wallace. I know I traded for Kenny Stills, but, you know, I always like to have that bigger-bodied guy. You know, but I'm not going to reach for a wide receiver here. Safety is another, you know, could this be the final resting spot for Landon Collins? I don't think so, only because when I look at value and need, I also need a corner. And as you know, in my division, I face some pretty large receivers. So I need a corner with some size, some speed. You know, Brett Grimes has done a masterful job, but we have had just an absolute, you know, hole in the sink, if you will, across from him for quite some time, which is the reason we traded Sean Smith, which is the reason we traded Vontae Davis, because we just haven't been able to find that guy. Well, I think I found the guy. Great read and react skills, great player. Miami selects Trey Waynes, cornerback from Michigan State. He's fast, ran a 4.35. He's big, 6'1". He's a great tackler, and I think he's exactly the type of guy that'll complement a Brett Grimes, and I'm hoping that we've improved our secondary.
Yeah,
you are now on the clock with you're now on the clock with the San Francisco 49ers at 15.
Okay, but I'll try and do you proud of this one. Jim Tomsula, first year as head coach. Really want to see him do well. Done a bit over here with the Rhine Fire. Just, you know, he's just a specialist. He's one hell of a person, you know. His ways of firing a team up, I've never seen anything like it, you know, from what I've seen. You got Eric Mangini as defensive coordinator, Chief DeChrist as offensive coordinator. You need to make some moves. It's a tough one, yeah. You lose a couple of guys off our defensive line, and I've got Danny Shelton still on the board. So I'm thinking, I've got to go Danny Shelton, yeah, Bri. I think he can come and play on those. I like Ian Williams, but I also think Danny Shelton's athletic enough to sort of move around that defensive front and play in a five, play in a three, move him about, be effective, be a great change up. Too valuable of a pick, I think, not to be on the board. I think Danny Shelton goes to the 49ers at 15.
Hey, I love the pick. You'll get no negative feedback from me. As you know, I told you in the beginning of this process, he's one of my favorite prospects in this draft. And if for some reason, some way, somehow he falls to us at 15,
yeah,
I'll do backflips. I tell people this all the time. You can find wide receivers in round two. You can find corners in round two. The draft has shown that. But when you talk about truly dominant nose tackles, a Vince Wilfork, a Casey Hampton, truly dominant nose tackles, they do not make it outside of round one. It just doesn't happen. Go back and look at the history of the draft. They're too hard of a commodity to find. These big athletic guys that can take on double teams, can rush the passer a little bit, collapse the pocket. So love the pick. You did the Niners justice, and I appreciate it. With that said, the Houston Texans are on the clock. Bill O'Brien running the show. We went 9-7 last year. We're right on the precipice of getting where we want to go. And, there's a couple things here that we could look at, Rodri. Could we look at defensive end? A lot of people would say that that's blasphemy, but in a 3-4 defense, J.J. Watt is without question the most talented defensive end right now in a 3-4 system. But who do we have across from him? Antonio Smith. Since Antonio Smith has left, Houston Texans have really not had a great five technique since he's left. So I'm keeping that in mind. We still have a kid like Eric Armstead on the board, so it's it's at least worth considering. Offensive tackle. Since Eric Winston's left, we've had a hole at right tackle. Do we really want to be that zone team? I don't think so. And with that said, the right tackle we had last year, he did struggle quite a bit. So I think an offensive tackle could be a possibility here. And, a guy that could play, maybe we move Dwayne Brown, the offensive tackle, back to the right side, which I think is more his more natural side, because I think he's a little more power than speed. So that's a possibility. And then we look at defensive side, and there's a clear need at outside linebacker. You look at Clowney. Clowney was great when he's healthy, but he was not healthy. And maybe he's healthy this year. We don't know. But you can't go into a season with an I don't know, as you know. Mm-hmm. We know Brooks Reed left in free agency. We know Connor Barwin is no longer. We need some pass rush help as well. So this is a tough decision. And I'm trying not to take a ton of time here, but because the offensive tackle that I think that they would want is on the board, the defensive end, the five technique that they would want is on the board, and the pass rusher is on the board. So, this is really one of those situations where in the draft, I think a team like Houston may move down for a team that, was in love with a certain player. But because we're not doing that, this is tough. They run a 3-4 defense. You're in a division with Andrew Luck. You got to be able to get after the passer. And you know what? I got to stick with my beliefs. I'm going to go with the best pass rusher in this draft, the guy that a year from now we're all going to be saying, that kid should have been selected much, much higher. And if I'm right, I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm going with Alvin Dupree, the talented outside linebacker from Kentucky. I think this kid can do it all. And I think he's a fantastic pass rusher. I think he's a guy that even when, Jadeveon Clowney is healthy, you put him on the opposite side, you're talking about two guys that are going to potentially get double-digit sacks. which is really what you're looking for from a 3-4 defense. You are now on the clock with the San Diego Superchargers.
Yeah, some fantastic information there, bro. I agree with everything you just said. It's a great pick, but okay, San Diego, here we go. Alex Spanos, he's looking, you know, is he taking the team to LA? I know Eric Weddle's not happy. I know Philip Rivers is up in the air about some stuff. There's something going on behind the scenes there. Who knows what they got going on? You know, they bring in Mike McCoy last year from Denver. He was, you know, his quarterbacks. Frank Reich knows his quarterbacks. Do they shock us and go with a quarterback, or do they trade down to get Brett Hundley? I don't know if they're going to do that. But, you know, Mike Nolan's in his linebackers coach. I'm looking at the loss of Ryan Matthews. They need a thumper, Brian. They need somebody to come in that backfield and be a solid running back for years to come. Get him about to pick. And I picked Todd Gurley out of Georgia. For me, he's been a fantastic college running back. You know, if he was healthy and ready to go, Brian, I honestly think he come out in the top 10. You know, 3-down running back, he could create some damage between the tackles on the perimeter. Solid skill set. And he reminds me of a young Marshawn Lynch. So, you know, his upside is Marshawn Lynch, and I believe he's got that running style and the power, you know, and the way Marshawn Lynch sort of dominates, it's hard not to look away from that. And I think that he can be that guy. So, for me, the San Diego Chargers select Todd Gurley at 17.
All right, excellent pick. I'm now on the clock at 18 with the Kansas City Superchargers, with the Kansas City Chiefs. This is actually a tough pick for me because I think when the actual NFL draft comes, regardless of what Kansas City will have you believe, I've heard Kansas City say, oh, you know what, we're still looking at edge rushers, we're looking at defensive backs, you know, we're looking at yada, yada, yada. I think this comes down to two positions. This comes down to either wide receiver, and I know they signed Jeremy Maclin, but remember that they got rid of their top two receivers from last year, which means, at least in my opinion, they need a receiver. And number two, offensive tackle. Eric Fisher has absolutely 100% struggled at the left tackle position since entering. First year, they thought, okay, maybe it's just jitters. He struggled again last year. I think Eric Fisher is a great offensive tackle. He was my favorite offensive tackle coming out in the draft 2 years ago. But if you go back and you listen to the analysis of that pick from Sports City, and I know you know this, I said I thought he was better as a right tackle. I thought he played better when he played with power. And so with that said, I think this is a tough spot. I think that there will be quality wide receivers available in round two, whether it's, you know, a guy like Breshon Perryman, whether it's a guy like Devin Smith, you know, whether it's a guy like Dorsett. There's going to be guys available. What I don't think there's going to be an abundance of is guys who can start for me day one at left tackle. And there's a guy on the board that we're shocked to see still sitting here, the best left tackle prospect in this class. I think he's got all the traits that you would hope for in a young left tackle. So for that, the Kansas City Chiefs select offensive tackle Andres Pete from Stanford to help shore up that line so we can kick Eric Fisher back over to the right side. You are now on the clock with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, that's a fantastic pick. I was tempted to pick them at 9 for the Giants, but I think TJ Clemens would just give them a bit of an extra. I think he's more suited to a Tom Coughlin mindset, if I got that right. I don't know if I got it right, but I hope I have. And Andres Pete is a great pick where we are. Okay, let's go to Cleveland. Cleveland Browns, the dog pound. Mike Pettine, you know, comes from a Jet Rex Ryan mentality defensively. I think they're going to look defensive with this pick, right? You picked the wide receiver, so for me it just makes sense to go to the other side of the ball with what I got left on the board also. There's two players I really like them to fit. But there's one guy I think will fit them perfectly right now in our system. We look what the Jets did with Mo Wilkinson and bringing in, you know, Richardson as well on the line, and just outstanding young players, and, you know, really, you know, show that they're men really and can play physically and violent right away. And for me, I think another guy available here, Malcolm Brown out of Texas. I think he's a classic nose tackle, Bry. I think he's unbelievably physical at the point of attack, very violent, and he's adapted stuff in a run. Flash has enough rush edge skill also to push the pocket up the gut, but for me, he's just a great player to pick here for the Cleveland Browns. Malcolm Brown at Texas, defensive tackle, defensive lineman. I think he'll be a good pro guy. So pick him at 19, Malcolm Brown.
Okay. I love the pick. I think Malcolm Brown is one of the most underrated guys in the draft. We do have about 9 minutes left in the show, and we obviously have about 10 picks. So I'm going to go ahead and I want to give good analysis, but I'm going to try and condense this down to about 40 seconds a pick. Philadelphia is now on the clock. Philadelphia Eagles, we're looking at edge rushers in our 3-4 system. Remember, we got rid of Trent Cole. Also a cornerback, potentially, if there's one that just absolutely, you know, catches our eye. And also maybe a 3-4 defensive end. I think this pick is the defense, Rodri. And I like all these guys. I think there's some corners available that, I think there's some corners available here that are worth the pick, worthy of the pick. I think there may be one edge rusher that may be worthy of this pick. But I got to be honest, you know what? I watched Nate Allen get absolutely torched last year, who's a safety for us. And because of that, you know, we've done some to improve our secondary and bringing in Byron Maxwell and bringing in Thurman and some of these other corners, but we have not addressed the safety position. So the Philadelphia Eagles select Landon Collins, talented safety from Alabama. You are now on the clock with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Fantastic pick. I didn't rank 7th overall, Bryce, so I was glad you took him off the board. I was about to do that at this pick. Marvin Lewis, you know, we could pull Gunther, takes over that defense. Hugh Jackson take over that offense. Several ways we can go here now with our pick with Landon Collins off the board. I'm looking at, you know, Marga sent to me. I was expecting more of him. I don't know how he's going to get come forward as a pro. I'm going to go with my best guy still on the board, Bri. I think he fits that defense. Though that defensive line is coming stronger and stronger. This kid can come in and really put a stamp on it. He can move inside and outside. I'm surprised he's still on the board, actually. Arik Armstead. I think Arik Armstead goes here to the Cincinnati Bengals. So Arik Armstead, defensive lineman, Cincinnati.
Excellent pick here. Pittsburgh is now on the clock, and there's a bunch of different ways you could go with this pick. But when I think of Pittsburgh, I think of physical toughness. I think of an attitude and a certain style of play. And there's a couple guys that fit that billing, but as you know, Ike Taylor just retired. We also lost Troy Polamalu. So, I mean, I almost feel like it's a given that it's going to be the secondary position that's addressed. And I think there's one guy that fits the bill here. I'm going to go with P.J. Williams, the talented corner from Florida State. Remember, he's played some safety, but I think he's probably the best run-stopping corner in this draft. Very physical, very fast to react. He plays with a very tough mindset, and I think the Pittsburgh Steelers and their fans are really going to enjoy his play. Detroit is now on the clock. You are on the clock, sir.
Nice pick with P.J. Williams. I actually had ranked him as my second corner also. I mean, he was very similar on cornerbacks. I remember that last year. Okay, Lions, Jim Caldwell. To me, you know, I'm looking at all the mock drafts. Not a lot of people are going corner, but I think they need a cornerback. You know, we've got one in Darius Slay, but, you know, is he the guy to take us to the future? I think he can shut down one side, but we need somebody to come in both sides of the other side. There's a few players there that could possibly do it, but we need a bit more. I really like a few kids. Kevin Johnston, awesome. Marcus Peters is awesome. I'm gonna choose between one. I'm not gonna go surprise yet on this. I'm gonna go Marcus Peters, bright cornerback for the Detroit Lions. I think they need a corner. Need some help in that secondary to make them a better defense, match their offense. So I go Marcus Peters, cornerback for the Detroit Lions.
All right, excellent pick. You know, a lot of people would tell you, myself included, that if not for off-the-field stuff, he could potentially be the most talented corner in his draft.
Yeah.
He's right up there. Arizona's now on the clock, and to me, this is a no-brainer pick. So I'm not going to take a ton of time. Sure, I could use a corner or a nose tackle, but there's one running back still left on the board. The reason we couldn't advance in the playoffs, in my opinion, is we couldn't run the ball with any consistency. So with that said, Arizona selects Melvin Gordon, running back from Wisconsin, and are very happy to do so. You are now on the clock with Carolina.
Looking at the Carolina team, Ron Rivera, he knows this stuff. He's a linebackers coach originally, and you got Cam Newton, and Cam Newton sort of dominates that team. You keep dominates defense. You got Cam offense. They got some very, very good offensive linemen, but I think they need some more help inside and out. Well, or possibly outside. So I'm looking at somebody I think that can be great inside and outside. Eventually outside. I'm looking at DJ Humphries, Bry, offensive lineman. I think he's got the skill to come in there and out of Florida, and start straight away and be physical, be dominant as a pro. So DJ Humphries, offensive lineman out of Florida to the Cincinnati Bengals, out to the Carolina Panthers, and out Cam Newton, I'll be a good pro. So yeah, I'm going DJ Humphries out of Florida.
Okay, excellent pick. I also like DJ Humphries. I'm now on the clock with the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens have a couple different positions that they could be looking at here. I think cornerback, wide receiver, or outside linebacker are positions they could be looking at. Corner last year when Jimmy Smith went down, they were in problem. Wide receiver, as you know, Torrey Smith is not coming back. Steve Smith is in his mid-30s. So with that, I think they need a tough physical guy. They need a guy, we've seen what Anquan Boldin did for this team 2 years ago, 3 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, and I think they need that mindset. So with that, Baltimore will go with Jalen Strong, wide receiver from Arizona State. I think he gives them the exact type of mindset they want in Baltimore from their wide receivers.
That's a nice pick.
Dallas is now on the clock.
Jerry Jones, the Jerry Jones show. He's got rid of DeMarco Murray. That offensive line, I think anybody can run behind that, right? If they trade for Adrian Peterson, then I'd like to see that, but I don't think they give up a one, as good as he is. But I think they go corner. They can play in that Tampa 2 defense. It sort of helped them last year. Orlando McClain was a shock when he last year played really well. I wonder if they bring him back. That sort of brings me to another player, actually, and I see him on my board here, Brian. I'm thinking maybe he can come in and be a great inside linebacker, just based purely on his skill set. He reminds me of Ray Lewis. He comes from the U, So yeah, I'm gonna go inside linebacker right to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm gonna actually cross off who I actually have got there, because I didn't think he'd sort of drop. I thought somebody might have picked him earlier on my board, but yeah, I'm going to go Denzel Perryman, inside linebacker. I think he fits that system just perfectly. And I think if he's here, I think Dallas should see that and pick him. So, yeah, I think I definitely think he could go here. Denzel Perryman, right to the Dallas Cowboys, a 27 inside linebacker.
Excellent pick. And for those of you who are listening in the chat room, I just wanted to say you can call in 917-889-9592 and listen to the remainder of the show. I'm sorry we went a little over, but we're only about 3 picks left, so we should only go over a couple minutes, but I hope you're enjoying this. I had a lot of people chime in, Rodri, on that last pick, that they were corner, but I think you went in the right direction. I think there's going to be corners available. Yeah. Denver's now on the clock. As you know, Denver did lose their starting tight end in Julius Thomas, which is a big blow. Peyton does like throwing to the tight end, so I think you look at a guy like Max William, Clive Wolford, Devin Funchess, I think that they're in play here. Also, offensive tackle. I think the right side of the offensive line, and particularly the right tackle, is a spot that I think that Denver is going to look to improve. Gotta protect Peyton Manning at all costs. And then also, remember, Pot Roast, Terrence Knighton is no longer there in Denver, which is really the anchor to that 3-4 defense. You got to have a talented nose tackle. So this is a tough decision for me, because what it really comes down to me is do I value my offensive tackle more than I value my defensive tackle. I think there's a little bit more depth at defensive tackle this year than there is offensive tackle. And for whatever reason, as, you know, we've talked about, and I believe in this kid, you know, multiple starts, you know, he's a kid that really can do it all, and I think intangibly he's probably top-notch. I'm going with Lael Collins, offensive tackle from LSU. I think he's a plug-and-play player, and I think he's going to do excellent in that system. You are now on the clock with the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I know I got the Colts. I would have loved to have that pick back off you right there. I'm actually thinking, you know, I got to look at some players just to make sure I pick the right one. But I'm thinking, you know, players like, I want to see Pep Hamill comes in as offensive. I'm sorry, Chuck Pagano was offensive. I'm sorry, Chuck Pagano head coach. Pep Hamilton comes in. He coached Luck at Stanford. I think it's vital that they sort of look in that direction. Offense, just to help. No, they need help on defense, don't get me wrong, but for me, there's a player, Brian, you mentioned him in your top five. I've done some scouting on him. I really like the kid. To me, Jake Fisher is got to go in the first round. I can't see him not going in the first round. I like him as an offensive lineman, and I'm going to bring him in, but I was going to pick him in one of these last few picks. I'm definitely going to pick him here. Yeah, I'm going to go Jake Fisher, offensive tackle, Oregon. I think he could be a good pro, and I think he's a first-round talent. And I think he deserves to go in the first round, Brian, on a run of offensive tackles we've had. I think we could see this draft day. So for me, Jake Fisher goes to the Indianapolis Colts from Oregon.
Well, you know, you're not going to get any flack from me. I like the pick. I like Jake Fisher a lot. Next up on the board is the Green Bay Packers, who basically collapsed in an NFC Championship game. I mean, this is a very talented team. When I look at this team, though, I got to tell you, I can't imagine them going anywhere but defense. You know, I look at the cornerback position. Devin House has signed a lucrative contract other places. Tremont Williams not coming back. Sure, they have Carlos Hyde, but, you know, for me, I think Hyde is better off as a slot guy. Leave Sam Shields on the outside. Let's get another corner, a talented corner, to play across from him. Outside linebacker, you know, Julius Peppers feels like he's about 100. I know he's, you know, he's played well, but, you know, he's a guy that, you know, you can't count on. And I know they have Nick Perry, but, you know, I feel like where Green Bay faltered last year is when they started relying on Clay Matthews to play middle linebacker. So I did this long roundabout thing to get to, I feel like what this team needs is a middle linebacker. And, you know, I started thinking, you know, who's the guy? You know, if there's, you know, if you had a list of 3-4 teams, who's the guy that, you know, most of these teams would really like? And you know what? Ultimately, I went with the guy that I liked. You know, maybe he doesn't fit the mold quite as much as one would think, but I went back and I looked at what A.J. Hawk was when he came out. He was 6'2", 233. This kid is 6'2", 230. He's a sideline-to-sideline guy. You don't have to take him off the field at any down. He's a three-down linebacker. He can play in the nickel. He's fantastic in open field. So with that said, the Green Bay Packers go with Eric Kendricks, the talented linebacker from UCLA. You're now on the clock with Seattle.
That's a fantastic pick. Isn't the Saints got his pick right? New Orleans?
You know what? You're absolutely right. I apologize. I didn't update my you're absolutely right. New Orleans does have this pick.
You were right, boy. I was going to say, yeah, I had Seattle earlier. I noticed I did. It's fine. I went with Shane Ray earlier for them. They pick up Shane Ray. That's a fantastic pick for them. Just to be different, I'm going to go offense. I'm going to go to the line. Oh, I'm saying I can't let this kid fall out of the first round. I really want to pick him in the first round. Eddie Goldman to me is that good of a player, Bri. I think he's a good first round pick. I think the Saints bolster that defense, like defensive front with Shane Ray, and now Eddie Goldman also. To me, that's just too rich to pass up. I think they go Eddie Goldman based purely on how good he is. And I don't think you see he's going to fall at the first run either. So for that reason, I'm going to say Eddie Goldman, defensive tackle from the New Orleans Saints.
All right. Very good pick. I like it. Defensive tackle from Florida State. I'm on the board now with New England. Looking at New England, we all know they need a corner. They lost Brandon Browner. They lost Darrell Revis. We've seen how big time a corner can play into, you know, what they do. We also know that they lost a nose tackle, you know, with Vince Wilfork leaving. And we don't know if they have anybody on the roster necessarily that can replace that. you know, we also know that they need an offensive guard. You go back and look at the playoff games, Tom Brady got absolutely beat up with not having the ability to step up into throws. But, you know, as much as I'd like to look at, you know, offensive guard to help Brady out, I almost feel like this pick has got to be on the defensive side of the ball, you know. And Bill Belichick is notorious for going with players that maybe he likes a little more than everybody else. You know, I look at some of these kids that, you know, maybe should be or shouldn't be here. He likes big, tall, physical, and I don't have this kid as a first rounder, but I think he might. So with that said, number 32, and with the last pick in the first round, the New England Patriots select Jalen Collins, the talented cornerback from LSU. Any thoughts on the entire mock draft before we head out of the kitchen today?
Really enjoyed your picks, Bri. You know, it's good that you picked Jalen Collins in there. I know he was rising a little bit on my board, but both of us had our doubts about him. It's good that he got in there. Talking about the Dallas Cowboys and without Rolando McClain suggestion, I like Rolando McClain if they re-sign him. I don't know if they will if Dennis Perryman's there. I don't know if he's you know, given his history. That was a big reason behind my Denzel Perryman pick. Just given his history and given that trust issue, I don't think they do that. I think they go Denzel Perryman. Just enjoyed it. I don't know actually what went on early, Bri. I'm sorry for getting in a bit late. I don't actually know what went on there, but whatever it was, then you know, like as you said, so much go on. I'm sorry, but I don't know exactly what happened. But just great doing the show with you again, Bird, and really really enjoyed that mock draft. Gonna look back over it and. And just see how it goes next week, you know, and then we go from there. Just great doing this whole build up to this draft with you and doing position by position for the show, and for the Sports City Chefs. Anybody listening, go back through the shows, listen to our analysis leading up, and enjoy the draft next week because it's going to be fantastic. Got a few things coming out writing wise. I'm really looking forward to those. I'm gonna leave them on the website for us to read, and just want to wish everybody all the best. And enjoy the draft. And Bri, hope you're having a great time out there, buddy, in California. Hope to see you soon. All the best, bud, and good luck.
Well, Rodri, as always, buddy, it's been a pleasure. Just for those of you kind of tracking at home, several talented players did fall out of our first round. You had guys like Ifu Okemu from the talented corner from Oregon, Quentin Rollins, the one-year wonder, point guard slash corner from Miami of Ohio, Shaq Thompson, the outside linebacker slash safety from Washington, Jordan Phillips, the talented defensive tackle from Oklahoma, Darrell Green Beckham, wide receiver, Devin Smith, just to name a few guys. So there's a lot of really, really talented players here still left on the board. Also in our mock draft, Rodri, I noticed no third quarterback selected. So we'll definitely talk more about this on our last show before the draft next week. But for all of you out there listening to SportsCityChefs.com, I just want to say check out the player interviews, blogs, websites at www.SportsCityChefs.com. If you have any questions, feel free to send us an email to SportsCityChefs@gmail. Any questions or concerns, any questions you'd like to ask about your individual teams. But from all of us here at the Sports City Chef's Kitchen, we are out. God bless and farewell.